Welcome, members and guests, to the May 8th program of the City Club of Eugene School Board Candidates Forum, Bethel School District and Eugene School District 4J. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marlene Nesri, City Club President. Our sponsors today are John Brown, Evans Elder and Brown, Funk Levis and Associates, Marketing and Public Relations, and Dot Dotson's Imagery Experts for over 80 years. Special thanks go to KPFF Engineers for supplying our office space and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the broadcasts on their site. Our bylaws require an annual meeting, which will be held next Friday, May 15th, before we go on air. The nominating committee of the board recommends the following slate of new officers: Juan Carlos Valle as president-elect, and Josh Burstein and Mary Layton as board members. Today's program, School Board Candidates Forum, Bethel School District and Eugene School District 4J, is coordinated by John Belcher. He'll introduce our program and our speakers.
Thank you. Today we will hear from eight candidates for contested races elections in both Bethel and Eugene 4J school districts. Each will take 3 minutes to tell us about their skills and experiences and what they can offer to the district. They are also invited to describe the issues they see as most significant and how they will seek to resolve them. Of the three Bethel school board positions up for election this year, only one is contested. Blake Holton is running for position 6 against Ginger Pogue. 4 school district board positions are in District 4J on this ballot. Position 1 has one filed candidate, incumbent Alicia Hayes, and since we have so many candidates already, we aren't going to hear from her today. 3 candidates filed for position 4, from which Craig Smith is retiring after 20 years on the board. John Bauman has withdrawn from that race to pursue a position on the Lane ESD board. Eileen Nittler and Scott Landgreen are still in that race. District 4 incumbents in contested races are Jim Torrey in position 5 facing Kevin Cronin and David Nichols, and Mary Walston in position 7 is facing Colin Farnsworth. I will introduce each of the candidates here in order determined by a coin toss, and they will each have 3 minutes to speak, and I will channel Chuck Barris of The Gong Show to remind them if they exceed their time limit. Before I introduce the first candidate, I will also channel Glenn Ifill from the 2012 presidential debates and ask of you to refrain from applause during their presentations, but please give them a round of applause now to thank them for their service to the community. Okay, we're going to begin with 4J position 7, and we're taking the candidates in reverse alphabetical order. Mary Walston has over 20 years' experience working for kids, schools, and community. From her career in public administration, managing nonprofits, and school board, she has direct knowledge of public organizations. She's now in her 5th year as a regular classroom volunteer and understands what students and staff experience daily. Mary.
Thank you so much, John. I'm standing up. I'm a Toastmaster, so I have to stand up when I speak. The most important thing we can do as adults is to make our community a better place for the next generation. As a school board member, we do this by providing the best educational opportunities we can for all students. I'm running for re-election to the school board because our kids need board members who have demonstrated leadership, community experience, and forward thinking to meet the district's goals. My top priorities are and will continue to be reducing class size, increasing early literacy skills, improving graduation rates, and restoring music programs. I'll continue to work to make these priorities a reality by doing the following: continuing to work with our state legislatures, legislators, and leaders to find new sources of revenue. No doubt this will require a vote of the people. I'm looking forward to that campaign. I'd also like to work to kick the kicker. I will continue to advocate for our children in Salem. I'm a very familiar face to our Lane delegation up in Salem. I want to continue to invest in full-day kindergarten, work with early childhood providers to prepare our kids to be ready to learn when they enter our schools. I want to continue to invest in our supplemental programs that target our most at-risk students, including AVID, BEST, and alternative high school programs like ECHO. I want to work to incrementally hire staff to restore our music in our schools. These are the programs that keep kids in schools. And I will move this effort forward as we address our 2016 budget. And finally, I want to work to put new focus on our middle schools. Middle schools isn't a warehouse between elementary and high school. It's a place where kids can actually achieve educational engagement in that path. I volunteer one day a week in an elementary school, and as often as I can, I visit schools. When I visit schools, I talk with teachers, staff, parents, and students. I see our changing demographics and the population in our schools, the increasing number of Latino students, the increasing number of English language learners, the increasing number of kids living in poverty, and kids with special needs. These are the kids I'm concerned about and who have less frequent access to educational opportunities. It's a matter of equity that we all need to continue to address. I always ask staff what they think, too. Last week, I was in the classroom shortly after the Smarter Balance testing, and I got an earful on that. I seek out these conversations, and I welcome them. I'm proud to announce that I've been endorsed by the Eugene Education Association, Oregon School Employees Association, Stanford Children, Democratic Party of Lane County, Eugene Weekly, and the Eugene Register Guard, and a long list of community leaders. I hope you'll visit my website. And on the topic of the Register Guard, I'd like to address the article last week about public records and public meetings. Mistakes were made, but not intentionally. School board members are humans, and we're all volunteers. I know that my actions and my decisions were based upon the advice of legal counsel and made with the best interest of the district and ultimately the students in mind. There's much work to be done. We still need to balance our budget for next year. We need to face the PERS decision, and we need to continue supporting our students. I ask for your vote, and I'm humbled by your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Now, Colin Farnsworth. Colin is an Oregon certified social studies teacher working as a substitute at nearly every school level and every subject in our local public schools. He wants to combine his educational training with his community organizing experience to bridge the gap between school board policy decisions and proven educational methods. Colin.
Yeah, so the whole reason I decided to run for school board was because I saw, through my teaching experience in the local public schools, a serious disconnect between budget and policy decisions and the educational proven methods that teachers need to have in the classroom to better educate our students. These disconnects are not only at a national level and state level, but they're also here in our local districts. When I noticed that our local school board didn't have anyone that currently works in the K-12 public school system, I saw that as a red flag for a disconnect. We could have the best budget consultants in the world, and without the knowledge, the in-class knowledge of knowing how these resources really affect children's learning and affect the best teaching practices, there's going to be a disconnect there. Students are not widgets. It's not about how much you put in and how much you get out. There's way more to it, and way more that students need to get the education that they need in the 21st century. Adding the teacher's perspective on the school board was going to maximize resources. It's going to affect the better quality for education for students, a better work environment for teachers, and it's also going to better use the resources that the taxpayers in this community have been very generous to supply. Not only would a teacher's perspective better bridge the gap for the resources, but it's also going to better bridge the gap between the working environment, the professional opinions of our local school staff, and the school board's decisions. There's a big disconnect there, and I don't think it's a very healthy environment between the teachers who offer and have great influential advice and strategies to improve education, but the school board has not really opened up that door for communication, and I've heard that personally from a number of teachers and school staff. Another disconnect that I've seen is with Measure 5. Measure 5 had a massive centralization and consolidation of money and funding and policymaking at the state level, and that disconnect has yet to be adapted by school boards. School boards have not done enough job to influence policymakers on the real needs of students and the classrooms. And I think that's a big problem, especially when you have this centralization of power and funding. You see a very aggressive special interests that are making influence of decisions on our policymakers, and we're not seeing the best responses what we need. One thing that has been mentioned is class size. I personally have worked in classrooms of 48 middle schoolers. Anyone else if we had a person who had 48 middle schoolers in a math class trying to teach math to 48 middle schoolers, this would have not gone down if we had that perspective, the teacher's in-class perspective in the classroom. That is a serious liability for our students to be in that type of situation. I'm running out of time, so I'll just say that my experience in grassroots organizing would help that effort. My training in education would help that effort. And I really think it's time that we get a teacher's perspective on the board to bridge those gaps and disconnects that I've mentioned. And if you want to know more information about me, it's ColinFarnsworth.com, and you can find out a whole lot more about my stance and my background. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Okay, we're going to move on to 4J, position 5. And first in reverse order is Jim Torrey. Jim told us, I've been honored to serve as a member of the 4J school board for the last 8 years. I have worked on behalf of youth in Lane County for many years, and I have the time, energy, and passion that is needed to continue to serve on the board. Jim.
Thank you very much, John, and thank the City Club for allowing us to be here. I apologize for sitting in the end, but I've eaten too much over my 74 years of life to fit behind that table. I want to talk just a moment about endorsements, because I think they're very important. And by the way, I hope you will take one of my flyers out there, because my wife said I spent too much money for you not to get rid of those. The Register Guard endorsed me, the Weekly endorsed me, and most importantly, the teachers in 4J endorsed me. I can't tell you how impressed and thankful I am for that endorsement. If you spend some time in classes like life skills, where they're teaching little kids how to say hello, how to not push the little boy or girl next to them, and if you see a 40 or 50 class size of fourth graders, young boys and girls in one room, you got to appreciate how important they are to the lives of our kids. I think as a board member, there are a number of things we're expected to do. One of the most important things is to represent those people in this district who elected us. I am committed, as I have been in the 8 years I've been on the board, to answer every telephone call, to answer every email, regardless of whether it's a positive or a negative comment that I'm receiving. I also want to make sure that this group knows this board and myself have advocated for additional funding for schools from day one. Not only have we advocated for it, we have been in this community passing a local option levy with your help, that if we didn't have it, we would be in a position not to do the things we are able to do today, and that's not as many as we should do. I'm going to read a quote here that I think is very appropriate. The needs of our children should not be made to wait. We can say with assurance that although children may be victims of fate, they should not be victims of our neglect. Those were the words of John F. Kennedy in 1963, and they will be as important in 2050 as they are today. I'm asking you to allow me to continue to help making those kids successful in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next up is David Nichols. David is a full-time college student, a former 4J student, single father, and a proponent of individual liberty. He supports increasing school choice, freedom for educators, and freedom for parents to choose what is best for their own children. David.
Hi, David Nichols, position 5. First of all, I don't have any direct professional experience that would qualify me for this position. I do have some experience organizing at a community level. I was on the board of a neighborhood organization for a year. I've served on the board of a couple different nonprofits. But I don't have the resume of someone like Jim Torrey. I don't have the organizational backing of Mr. Cronin. What I do have is some direct experience in the 4J schools as a student. I enrolled first grade at River Road Elementary in 1987, and the schools they weren't capable of meeting my needs at that point. My parents had invested quite a bit of effort educating me themselves prior to when I enrolled in school. I could read the newspaper when I got to first grade. I was doing math well above you know, my grade level, and the schools basically had no answer for that. And there were plenty of other students like me. And so basically I was my entire experience of 4J being an advanced student or a student that didn't fit within the, you know, the middle that the public schools teach to, I was a problem for them. And my parents, my mom especially, advocated for me strongly every year and was treated as a problem rather than an asset. And so finally, after an experience in eighth grade where myself and some of the other advanced students at that point were, we had what was called an independent study math class, advanced independent study, which consisted of locking us in a storage room for the whole year without any sort of supervision or resources, my mom made the decision to pull me out of the public schools. I graduated from a private high school, and the only reason we were able to afford that was because my dad had a life insurance policy that cashed in when I was in middle school. And so I acknowledge that funding is a problem for schools. I think it's more of a systemic problem than simply lack of funds. It's a matter of where the money goes. And so what I would be advocating for, what I would see as my position on the board, would be that I have a very personal experience of the gulf between the rhetoric and the reality of what takes place in our schools. And I would see myself as an advocate for increasing choice by any means that we can do that, whether it's increasing opportunities in existing alternative programs that don't meet the demand for those programs, whether it would be lobbying at a state level for programs like scholarship tax credits or tuition tax credits. That would be what I would hope to do on the board. Thank you.
Thank you. The third candidate for this position is Kevin Cronin. Kevin has been a community organizer, an organizer in town for 5 years. He has worked on numerous projects on the city income tax for 4J schools. He managed Peter Sorensen's reelection campaign, organizing health care benefit enrollment workshops for the Affordable Care Act, and is the 2014-2015 Eugene Weekly's Best Local Hellraiser. Kevin.
Well, thank you very much, John, and the programming committee here at City Club, and thanks for you listening on the radio. Oregon has a high school dropout problem. In the 8 years that the incumbent has served on the school board, graduation rates have actually declined by 5%. Oregon is now the last in the country in high school graduation rate. It's time for a change. The school board has a mix of folks from a variety of backgrounds, but it noticeably lacks youth representation. We need someone that can relate to the kids that we are failing, and I'm that person. I dropped out of high school in ninth grade, and the only reason I am here today is because I got a second chance. My dad helped me enroll in community college when I should have been in 11th grade, and instead of taking the GED, I pursued high school completion. I started earning college credit towards an associate's degree, and I was back on track to graduation. I got involved, and I organized my fellow students to lobby the state legislature for funding alternative schools at the community college level. After high school graduation, I went to the University of Oregon, and I graduated in political science. I was recognized for my advocacy work, and I was appointed to the Lane Community College Budget Committee, which now I'm the chair of it. Class size, graduation rates, these are all problems that every candidate acknowledges, but they're symptoms of the root funding problem. In the last 8 years, Oregon public schools have cut 5,300 full-time equivalent positions. 65% of eligible 3- and 4-year-olds do not have access to Head Start due to lack of funding. After years and years of begging for scraps at the state legislature, we must realize that if change won't come from the top down, it must come from the bottom up. My campaign is excited to see an organization called Our Oregon file a ballot measure to increase the corporate tax, which will provide a lasting solution to our budget problems. 4J needs a leader that will collect signatures, organize volunteers, and get out the vote for this measure. I'm a seasoned organizer, and I can be that leader. I want our graduates to learn financial literacy so that they're informed when they take out massive student loans. I'm also endorsed by NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon, and I proudly support comprehensive sex education. Many organizations and prominent Oregonians believe in me and support my campaign. Oregon Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, Lane County Commissioner Pete Sorensen, Lane County Central Labor Council, the Service Employees International Union, the Graduate Teaching Fellows of the University of Oregon, the Democratic Party of Lane County, and many more. Thanks for letting me come out and speak to you all, and I'm looking forward to your questions.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll move on to 4J Position 4, and we'll start with Irene Nittler. Eileen has served on 4J's Equity Committee, chaired the local Stand for Children chapter, and volunteered for schools in many capacities. She is a social worker who wants to collaborate with the community to solve our educational difficulties. She has four children, two still at North Eugene High. Eileen.
Thank you. I'm Eileen, and I want to thank the City Club for inviting us all here to have this conversation about education. My resume with school volunteerism is long. In addition to my four kids, my husband and I have hosted dozens of exchange students and have been foster parents, so we've had kids in the system for a long time. When my son entered kindergarten, I found out the parent-teacher group was struggling, so I stepped up and I ran that at River Road for a number of years. From there, I moved on to serve on site councils, which are the strategic planning groups in the schools, and got involved with just about every other thing I could do for the schools, including, I think this was the highlight, driving the middle school band to Seattle for the weekend. Clearly, I have a lot of patience. I got involved with Stand for Children a number of years ago, and through them, I learned more about the broader issues regarding education. I've taken parents and students up to Salem to lobby for more funding once I got to go to Washington, D.C. and lobby. For the past 3 years, I've served on the 4J Equity Committee in order to give a voice to those kids of ours who need it the most. I have worked on every bond and levy measure in the past many years. And I have a pretty thorough, broad-based knowledge of the district. I'm in touch with parents and students and teachers, and one theme I've heard a lot from everybody is that no one feels heard. There's a disconnect that's come up a couple times. And that got me to thinking, what does the community need to move to a more collaborative and mutually respective culture of education? And I decided that Eugene needs a social worker. So I am a social worker, and I have been in the community for over 20 years. Those skills I have are the ones needed to promote transparency and communication. What I do for a living is to bring together different groups to collaboratively work towards solutions to tough problems. I network with community partners, I listen, I build trust, I work on equity and poverty. One of the things I would look forward to is building a relationship with the new superintendent who's coming on. I want to focus on improving graduation rates, which is not a simple or short-term solution. It requires a lot of different approaches at different levels. And in conclusion, I'd hope for two things. I hope that you vote for me. And secondly, I hope that everybody at this table who's so willing to step up and help kids will do so whether or not they're elected. I can certainly find a place for you somewhere in the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Also running for position 4 is Scott Landgreen. A member of the River Road North Eugene community for 25 years, Scott has served youth as coach, booster club president, and AYSO board. A retired small business owner for 22 years, Mr. Landgreen's career includes secondary teacher and YMCA health director while advocating for less privileged families. Scott.
Thank you very much. I'm Scott Landgreen. I have three primary interests that I will advocate for while I'm, if I'm elected on the board. The first and foremost, I think, is that we need to get our elementary school students truly prepared, each and every one, to get into the high school. And that might require taking some big choices, some difficult choices. It might even require making some sacrifices at the high school level. But in the long run, I truly believe that once we are getting our elementary school children into the high school fully prepared that the job of the teachers and educators at that level will be much easier. It's a big risk, I have to say. It's a tough decision, but if elected to the board, that is one that I think I would make. The second thing that I really think is critically important is that we focus more on preparing our youth to get into the world after high school, and that means doing a better job with job skills, perhaps technical skills, and looking a little less at moving kids into colleges per se. There's a lot of need in this community. If you had seen Willamette, I believe it was Willamette Week just recently. There was an article that was questioning a lot of the business people, and almost universally through the article, there was the support for getting more qualified people into the general workforce to support our businesses in the community and therefore the economy. The third primary interest that I have is dealing with at-risk students, and that there's a number of categories that there. It's lower economic students. We have a huge, in North Eugene in particular, Latino population that is underserved, not enough bilingual teachers, and I'd like to see us focusing there a lot better. Again, I'm Scott Landgreen. I'm a big advocate for, if you will, the people that need it most. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. We'll now move to the Bethel race. Position 6 is the only contested race. Ginger Pogue is a candidate and is the incumbent, but is unable to attend today, but asked to read this statement. I desire another term on the Bethel School Board to help complete several unfinished projects and to ensure our students the best education available. We are building 2 schools, implementing full-day kindergartens, adding back some cut days, working on lowering class sizes, and hoping to restore salaries that were cut. We do have Blake Holton here. Blake has a degree from Oregon State University, is currently the director of operation for KRS, a local design and manufacturing company, and father of 2 girls. Blake and his wife have been Bethel residents for 9 years, and their oldest is in the first grade at Prairie Mountain School. Blake.
Thank you, John, and thank you to the City Club for putting together such a nice program and for the community to attend and tune in. Like John said, my name is Blake. I'm running for Bethel School Board position number 6. I'm proud to say that I've been endorsed by the Eugene Education Association and also the Bethel Association of Classified Employees. And we've talked a lot about teachers, but I'd also like to mention that our classified employees are the ones that make our schools run. They're the ones that provide that safe environment. They provide a lot of the services, and I think that oftentimes they get not really focused on during when we talk about school boards and education. And I'm very proud to say that they've endorsed me as well. My wife and I have lived in Bethel for about 9 years. My wife is an educator. She teaches out at Lane Community College right now. She taught in Bethel for about 6 years, teaching mathematics. When I look at Bethel schools, I see a lot of really wonderful things going on, and I see a lot of great opportunities for our children. I'm a firm believer in career technical education. As a director of operations for a manufacturing company, I interact with Willamette High School graduates every day. We've reached out to Terry, who runs the shop classes at Willamette, and we've hired his most promising graduates to come to work for us. And I believe in what he does, and I believe in career technical education, and I believe that's a very important part of what we do. You know, my company's offering meaningful wages, full benefits to these graduates right out of high school. And they're coming to us with meaningful skills that they've received from their mathematics background to their English background to some of the career technical education that they've been provided, and I want to make sure that continues. Comprehensive education is a real priority. My daughter is a first grader, and she loves to sing. Anything to do with music, performance, singing, she's all over it. And making sure that she has that touch time, you know, at least a few times a week and that opportunity to express herself, I think, is so critical. You know, I believe in Common Core. I think it's a great idea that we have, you know, some standards that we measure our students by. But at the same time, everything cannot be measured by a standardized test, and not everything can be summarized in just our core classes. We need that comprehensive education. I believe we're all stakeholders in education. The community, the board members, the candidates for board, we all look for and need what our schools produce. And I want to be part of making sure that that continues and improves as we go forward. So I would appreciate your consideration of vote, and thank you to all the candidates. You know, this is probably one of the hardest volunteer jobs to get, and I really appreciate that so many people have come out to support education in such a meaningful way. Thank you.
Hold on, folks. Now I'll return control of the mic to our president, but first, please join me in applauding all the candidates once more for their service.
Thank you. Today's topic is School Board Candidates Forum, Bethel School District and Eugene School District 4J, with speakers Scott Landgreen, Eileen Knittler, Jim Torrey, Kevin Cronin, David Nichols, Mary Walston, Colin Farnsworth, and Blake Holton. We'll break for a few minutes now to formulate our questions and be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians. In Eugene, 89.7 FM KLCC, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
Welcome back to the May 8th City Club program, School Board Candidates Forum, Bethel School District and Eugene School District 4J. Our speakers today are candidates from 4J, Scott Landgreen, Eileen Knittler, Jim Torrey, Kevin Cronin, David Nichols, Mary Walston, and Colin Farnsworth, and from Bethel, Blake Horton. City Club members, please identify yourselves and please keep your questions to about 30 seconds each. Thank you.
I'm Jerry Smith, City Club member since 2003. This is a question for Kevin Cronin. I like the data you put forward. There's been a change of school superintendents, a very critical job. The community does not know what was involved. What are your feelings about public transparency?
Well, I strongly believe in being transparent with the public. I think that we need to conduct all governmental affairs in line with Oregon Public Meetings Law. I haven't read through all of the emails that were released, but I would have handled myself differently. One, if our superintendent wasn't doing well, I wouldn't have given him a glowing review in the first year. Secondly, I would have filled out the performance review like I was supposed to for the second year. I believe Jim did. I'm not exactly sure. Third, I would have convened an executive session to talk about personnel matters and then worked out some different paths forward, and then I would have decided publicly to move forward. And what we had happen was we had folks go to Shelley Berman and negotiate his departure, and that wasn't done in the public. And we need to make our decisions in the public, and that is how I will operate. I think that it is a shame that we are spending public money on lawyers to pay for a lawsuit to cover this up. And I think that that we need to spend all of our public money on actually educating our children.
Bob Hart, City Club member since about 2011. I've been asked to ask school board member Jim Torrey a question. I think the community recognizes that a lot of our educational problem is in Salem, in that we're talking about state funding. So, sir, my question for you is, what would you suggest we do about changing state funding, and specifically, would you be in favor of increasing the corporate income tax?
First of all, I want to make sure everybody in this room understands it is an all of us problem. It's not a left, it's not a right, it's not a center, it's not an R, a D, or an I. It's everyone in Oregon's responsibility. And if we're going to get the minds of the public behind that important issue, we must communicate to them what the negative impact is of not doing it. Not only does it impact the future of our children, it impacts the future of our economic well-being in the entire state. We need tax reform. Would I, and I have in the past, voted for corporate tax income increases. I want to make sure, though, that this next time we go to the public and ask for a meaningful increase in revenue so that we can provide not only education, because we have other people who have needs, health and human services, public safety. Now, we're strong advocates for public education, and we need to be. But if we don't get at least 50.1% of the voters in Oregon to join with us, it will not happen. And the last research I've done on this shows that the biggest party in Oregon has less than 38% of the registered voters. 38% won't get it done. We need all of us doing it. This community has shown that we, on this board, myself included, were able to communicate to the city how important the local option levy was. 76% of the people in this community said yes. We have to do in the state of Oregon what 4J and the community in Eugene was able to do here. We are a role model in this state for getting public support for education. Want to make sure that the proposal that goes out there is not just from one segment of the state. We have to have the business community join with us, and we need to convince them that it is important for all aspects of this state.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jane Ganter, a City Club member since 2006. Our table had a question for Kevin Cronin. In one sentence, how would you define the achievement and opportunity gap and what you see as the role of school board members in closing that gap?
One sentence is a little tough. Okay. I think that our school board members need to be on the front lines. You know, we don't have representation on the school board of folks that went through the achievement gap. My family, in particular, has been hit hard by that. My sister, she dropped out as well. I had the opportunity to go back. My sister instead spent 2 years serving jail time in Leon County Jail. And, you know, the achievement gap is a real thing, and it hits me right here in my heart. And so the role we need to do is we need to make sure that we have enough funding for our schools. We need to support the programs like AVID, BEST, ECHO, and we need to make sure that we actually bolster and strengthen those programs. ECHO is not as robust as the program that got me back into school, and we need to make sure that we strengthen that program.
Thank you. Linda Hamilton, member of the City Club since 2014. I want to say a young lady, she is young at heart, at my table. I wanted to ask Blake Holton, why are you not in the voter's pamphlet? And then she wanted to know where your wife, who is a teacher, and she wanted to know if you folks up here are going to get art and music back in school.
Yes.
To answer the question, I wasn't in the voter's pamphlet because I chose to run pretty late, and by the time I got my application in and we were scheduled on vacation, and I didn't have time to enter into the voter's pamphlet. The second question was, which one was my wife?
Is your wife here?
My wife's there.
Good, nice to meet you.
She's the most beautiful lady in the room, mm-hmm. So And Mother's Day is coming up, so hopefully that's a few extra points for me. And then I think the last question was a question for everyone about arts. And I think I already spoke a little bit about, you know, my views on comprehensive education. And I certainly think that the arts are a significant portion of that. I know for my daughter, music is her key. And finding those keys for children that keep them interested in school and driving towards the other things that are maybe slightly less interesting in school, and integrating those, I know, are so important. I know when my wife has taught math before, she's looked to reach out to children and understand, you know, just give me something you're interested in and I can show you how it's math related, you know, and that's sometimes what it needs.
Okay, let's start from that end.
Well, Linda, I'm going to address the music question because I specifically called that out. We've got great staff members who have developed an incremental plan to restore music in our schools, strings in our elementary schools, and I fully intend to bring that to the budget committee. Well, by the way, this is Mary Walston. Forgot to do that. And it's a matter of equity. Not all of our schools have music programs, and all our kids deserve that because it's part of what keeps kids in school. So I am 100% behind restoring music in our school. In any ways that we can do it, I'm open to talking about it.
This is Colin Farnsworth responding to the equity of different subjects in our schools. You know, with the focus, the heavily focused Smarter Balance and Common Core has really sucked funding from a lot of other subjects. In the last few years, we've revamped and bought new curriculum for math subjects, and I've seen talk to teachers, and they're saying that they actually had to skip revamping their social studies curriculums. And so this is just happening not just with the arts and the music, which I think are extremely important for providing education for the left and right brain students. And this has to do with more, you know, learning how students learn and what is important to them. But to see that with this new focus on standardized testing and on these core subjects, we're really losing the full educational process that is super important for creating a very productive and engaged community. And so I'm here to protect all subjects, not just these core ones that our current board has been really focusing on due to some of the state standards and state priorities that have been pressuring on them. So that is my response.
David Nichols, position 5. On the topic of arts and music in schools, I went to, I graduated from Wellsprings Friends School, which at the time was a private school. I believe, I'm not sure if it's now a charter school or not, but private schools and charter schools don't necessarily have the same requirements for licensed teachers. And so we live in a community that's full of artists and musicians that they're all broke. Basically, I'm one of them, so I know what I'm talking about. That would, because of the way that, you know, programs have to be structured and funded when we're dealing with a central administration, the costs for programs like this, we can talk all day about how great it would be to have language programs and arts programs and music programs. The funding doesn't look like it's going to be forthcoming. Looks like the district is going to be taking another hit with the repeal of the PERS reform. And so I would love to see these programs in schools. I just think that option, you know, having alternative programs, charter schools, or means by which, I guess, parents can opt out of schools if they don't feel like they're meeting their children's needs and take at least a portion of the funding with them, that, you know, if we're not going to address some of the fundamental issues of why schools are consistently underfunded. And by the way, Willamette Week published a great article on Wednesday on school funding in Oregon. I would urge everybody to read that in terms of why our school districts are consistently underfunded even when the legislature allocates additional money. I just think that there are better ways that schools can be meeting the needs of kids that aren't really being discussed. So I'll pass.
So this is Kevin Cronin answering the question. I think that art and music in schools is incredibly important. I was involved in jazz band in middle school, and I think that's one of the reasons I stayed in school as long as I did. What we have in Eugene is that in the highest income areas by census block, we're seeing parents going out and fundraising to fund programs at their schools. And I think that speaks, I mean, that's great. You know, I'm glad to see parents being involved. But that speaks to the inequality of opportunity that we see because of the funding crisis in education. And we need to fix this, and we need to have a longer-term solution than June. And we need to have a solution in November 2016.
I'd like to jump into this. This is a great question, not specifically for art or music. One of the biggest challenges that we face in this community, that some schools have more than other schools, and I'm going to talk about high schools now. If you do not have the capacity or the financial wherewithal, and you happen to live in North Eugene, you do not have the same activity responses as you would get at South Eugene. If you want to be a great athlete, lots of kids want to go to Sheldon. We must face up to that issue. And I got this little button, you can't all read it, but it says, because we've always done it that way, we cannot keep following that motto. And it is not going to be easy. Once you have something, you never want to give it up. And the people in certain areas of our community do not have champions like other areas do. I commit to you that I will continue to be a champion for those kids who do not have access to those programs. Equity is not the same as equal. We must truly provide equity to our low-income schools, and we must provide equity to those kids who are English language learners or have low-income families.
Thank you, Jim. I think you're exactly right. Everybody up here will say we want art and music and this is Eileen. I forgot to identify myself. Thank you. We all want these things. We all know this is what's best for kids, not just for their to make it more fun at school, which is also good, but because it helps build brain development. Math is music. Music is math. These things are not separable. That being said, these are budget decisions that are really big, and I can't sit up here and speak to how exactly I would do that, or to say philosophically, I'm a big fan. I know I wouldn't make those decisions by myself, that I would pull in the stakeholders, teachers, and experts, and all of you, community, to say, how do we do this? How do we fund this common goal we all agree is a good thing?
This is Scott Landgreen. The diversity in the education across the board is absolutely essential, and certainly arts and music are part of it. And we need to look at our curriculum and find ways to tailor our curriculum to the particular interests of our students. I would like to see a way that we can take the arts and music programs and incorporate the social sciences and the maths and things and tailor it specifically to that. And I would like to do the same thing with the maths and sciences, tailoring other programs so that it's focusing, so they can cross over, but tailor it to the interests and the needs of those students. Same way with job skills and tech. And then, of course, the social sciences or the core curriculum that we're so used to seeing, incorporating a little bit more of the music and art and the technical and things and the job skills there, crossing it over. My ideal, and this is absolutely impossible, would be to have four schools that, high schools, that focused one on arts and music, one on tech and job skills, one on the more social sciences, and one on arts on math and science. It's not possible in this economic way, but I think that way, if possible, you know, we would get
students really focused and curriculum really focused on the direct needs of each and every one of the students in our high schools. Thank you.
Janet Calvert, City Club member. There's lots of demands on education, and there's no simple answers, and I know that. Generally, it is agreed that if kids are going to be successful, they need to be able to read by the third grade and have all the other things before them that allows them to read. And that is one of the emphases, as I understand, in the current new plans. If we do that, and considering we're having all-day kindergartens also, what's going to go away? How are you going to spread it thinner?
I'd be happy to try to answer that. What's going to go away is, first of all, we're going to have to no longer refuse to evaluate every one of the programs that we currently have in our district. We're going to have to, in my opinion, be willing to bring in an outside auditor and look to see if there are any efficiencies that could take place in the current expenditures that we're making and allocate that to a strategic plan that places currently class size first, a full year second, and once we do those two, if we have to make cuts, keep them as far away from the classroom as we can. That's again going to be one of those issues where if you happen to be in a silo that provides that current service, you are not going to like it. But we have no choice. We must live in the world we're in today. The minute we get more money, believe me, there is this bucket sitting there with all sorts of improvements that we would want to add back. But now, make sure our kids can read by the end of the third grade. That is the predictor of success in school. And if you want to increase graduation rates, make sure those kids can read to learn after they leave the first 3 years where they were learning to read.
Randy Prince, City Club member. I wanted to know if any had any thoughts on the importance of architecture and the school facilities. Of course, we always think about what programs, what teachers, but as a substitute teacher over a few years, I got to see quite a few school districts in the area. Some of them very nice, South Lane, Bethel, very well kept, obviously pride in the community. 4J, maybe not so much. Of course, schools are funded by, we can get extra funding to replace schools. Maintenance comes out of everything else. And so I wondered, you know, looking at our, we have nice older schools, sometimes the edifice, then there's another phase, cinder block and very undistinguished. We're building schools now. How do you feel about the attitude we should take towards our new facilities? And do any of you remember any time in your own K through 12 education that having a good school in the district you attended contributed to your education right up there along with good teachers?
So I'd like to answer this question. This is Kevin. I was been involved in the Lane Community College Budget Committee while they built the downtown campus. And I think that for all of our new school buildings, we need to make sure, if we're going to build a new building, that we need to make sure that they're environmentally LEED certified, so that we can teach children from a very young age that the buildings that they go to school in, if they're paid for by public dollars, that they're environmentally friendly, and that it teaches and underscores the importance of climate change. And we can do that with our buildings. And that's one opportunity in the school district that no one has brought up.
This is Mary Walston. I'd just like to comment on that as a current 4J board member. About 3 years ago, we engaged a firm and we did a comprehensive study of all our buildings. That was the basis for the bond that we put out 2 years ago. Thank you again, voters, for putting $170 million into our local environment. Right now, we've got two schools under construction, Roosevelt and Howard. I encourage you to go out and look at them or check the website. And these buildings have been put together with architects that are top-notch, and we have community members, and I'm looking at one of our board members, Beth Giroux, who's in the audience on that committee. They are not LEED certified because we elected to save a few dollars, but they are a high standard of sustainability, and I can't remember what the term is, but this is something we're very concerned about, is our learning environment. So we know that that's important. It's just as important as our schools. I'm not quite sure, Randy, what your question was, but yeah, buildings are really, really important, and we're constantly, with the limited funds we have, trying to update it. And just at that board meeting on Wednesday, we had a request from a number of our transgendered and nonconforming students about bathrooms and the fact that we really need just a bathroom, and they don't have to be gender identified. So it's that kind of thing that I think we really listen to our students and our staff and really try to improve our buildings every day. Thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to take a stab at that one, too. This is Colin Farnsworth responding to the last question about architecture. And there's actually a lot of studies that, you know, as going through the education school, that shows that natural light and natural lighting actually is very beneficial to students, and having access to outdoor environments and really getting kids involved to connecting curriculum to real life situations. So when we're talking about architecture, what first hit my mind was how can we, it's very hands-on, it's very connected, and it's very very tangible for students. So when we're talking about math and getting kids interested in math, architecture seems like a natural plan to get them involved. Well, how is this building put together? What are the angles? And really allow them to apply some of these basics to real-life situations. Because as a sub who's in a lot of math classes, the number one question is, when am I ever going to use this, right? That's the classic one. And so getting kids involved with the higher-level thinking of architecture, but also allowing looking at the studies of what really induces a better education, so students are in classrooms with the right light and with the most up-to-date educational foundations for good learning environments. Because, you know, teachers can provide so much, but without that architecture, as you mentioned, and really looking forward in terms of where technology is going to go. Some of these schools, they seem like they could be turned into prisons very easily. I go throughout different, seriously, I mean, I go through them, they're windowless. And the amount of what that kind of gives the impression to the students is not very good, and it doesn't really seem like they're really being thought about during the construction process. So that's my two cents. Thanks.
I would encourage my opponent to go visit Churchill, the STEM studio, and then our new schools that are being built. They're filled with windows and natural light.
Okay, I've got a question, and this one is I'm taking from a table, so I'm wearing a different hat now. Eileen. What would you do to help students who are at risk for not graduating or experiencing challenges such as poverty that may prevent them from fully engaging within our schools?
That is a complicated question, and I have how many hours to answer that? I'll talk a lot faster. So to address any one particular issue, when we're going to say graduation rate or dropout rate, if we look at it and say that's the problem, we're going to miss the mark completely. So if we look at what some of the indicators are, reading by third grade is one of the best ways to ensure graduation for little kids. That's one of the things you can do young. Another point where students start disengaging is sixth grade. So that's the first year of middle school. And there is a huge difference between elementary and middle. And that's the time when kids are going to say, wow, this is tough. This isn't for me. I'm not feeling supported. There's social emotional resources we can put into place for them. One of the things I do is middle school mentoring, building up those emotional ties. And then in high school, making it relevant. That matters to kids. We've talked a lot about the technical education, and that is one thing that keeps kids, arts, music, all of that. So making it relevant and fun and having kids feel that there's a reason for them to be there. So all of those things will work together to help with the graduation rate. It doesn't control for things that happen outside of the school, which is what, a quarter of the student's year is in school. So a lot of the influence is going to be outside. That's a bigger issue. What I would want to do would be to build up those networks and collaborations to work on issues of poverty and support as a bigger concept.
Jerry Diethelm, a City Club member. Question to all of you, although I know you can't answer it, is what are you going to do about reducing class size? Because I know the community wants an answer to that. But I don't think it's a fair question in the sense that you don't have the resources now. And I think we've reached the point where efficiencies, squeezing more blood out of the budget, whatever way you do it, is going to really solve the problem. So my question to you is, because I think the problem is at a state level, is that would you personally support and advocate a dedicated
sales tax for education.
Can we get one-word answers from each of you?
This is Eileen, and I'll support tax reform almost any way you hand it to me.
One-word answers, please.
One word.
This is Mary, and I totally support tax reform in Oregon and actively will work on a campaign to do so.
One word is it better be something the entire state is willing to successfully vote for. If one of those measures goes down, we'll take years to get back on the ballot.
Okay, this is Scott Landgreen. Well, to address the class sizes.
One word. We've got no time.
Yes, absolutely.
No. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
This is Blake Holton. Only if it guarantees that we fix our funding crisis, not just move it off into another disagreement later down the road.
One word.
This is Kevin Cronin, and I'm the only campaign actually out there advocating for tax reform right now.
David Nichols, I was born and raised in Oregon, and so I'm going to have to say no to the sales tax just because it's been a point of pride for a lot of people that I know that we're one of the few states that doesn't have one, so no.
Okay.
Hold on, wait. There's one more.
Sorry.
There's
sorry.
One more. Colin Farnsworth here. I'm going to just go with accountability. We're spending a lot of money, and we need more accountability on that money.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Scott Landgren, Eileen Knittler, Jim Torrey, Kevin Cronin, David Nichols, Mary Walston, Colin Farnsworth, and Blake Holton for bringing clarity and vision to this City Club program, School Board Candidates Forum, Bethel School District, and Eugene School District 4J. Thanks again to our sponsors, John Brown, Funk Levis and Associates, and Dot Dotsons. We meet again on May 15th at the Downtown Athletic Club for Retirement Savings Plan, a solution for Oregonians' failure to save with Senator Lee Beyer and John Magnin. Lunches for this program can be ordered on City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thank you.